Welcome to episode number 50, The Foundation.
This is the Rotated Views Podcast with Jimmy Lee and the crew, giving you life from various perspectives. Welcome to our level. We hope you enjoy the views.
All right, you are now tuned in to the Rotated Views Podcast. I am your host, Jimmy Lee Velez. I am here with Goose, Heck, and Gabe. That's right, folks. We are here. We are ready to rock and roll. We have a fantastic special edition episode for you titled The Foundation. In this episode, we wrap up the lessons learned since our last podcast check-in. That would be episode 40. The crew discusses the basics of building strong relationships, using our resources, success principles, and burning bridges. We talk about respect, our value system, and our circle of influence. We wrap the episode up with statements regarding growing as a person and business in all areas of life. First of all, I give a huge thank you to all the subscribers and listeners to the Rotated Views podcast. Again, we drop a new episode every Tuesday morning, and we've been seeing, you know, the influx has been earlier in the week is a traditional download time, which is perfect for us since we do drop our episodes Tuesday mornings. Nothing has changed, but because of our podcast, we have started to build relationships with guests that we have in the past. And actually, me and Gabe are now part of a new project with Devin DeShields, which is something fun and we're going to be looking forward to that.
Nice.
We're attacking later on in the week. The other thing was we're helping promote Miguel's Riverside Barbershop every single week consistently. At least since November, we've been talking about purposely promoting on Facebook and obviously on the podcast. But what's cool about it is that he's able to not only promote and advertise his business and what he has going on, but he's getting his name out there for a small business that's a brick and mortar business, right? I just thought it was fantastic because what we do is virtual, right?
Yep.
It's like it's something that's, you know, we promote on social media and you download what we do, our projects
complete
or whatever.
Digital, yeah.
But he has a brick and mortar business that we're able, since it's local, and a lot of our friends on Facebook obviously live locally because we're just a town right over. We're able to get the word out, and it makes sense at the same time. So we're seeing multiple. We're at episode 50, and here we are learning to brand ourselves the correct way, or the best way that we know how. Mm-hmm. Anyway, in fact, we had professional marketing gurus on our episodes, basically confirming what we're already doing. So we're on social media, we're out promoting, we're parlaying our mouthpiece by promoting Riverside Barbershop. And for those of you don't know, my brother has been chosen as a top six finalist for Main Street Small Business Revolution, which is a show, you know, backed by the Deluxe Corp. And it's airing on Hulu and smallbusinessrevolution.com in the fall of 2017. So how it works is they basically invest $500,000 into the town, into a town, whoever the winner is. In this case, it's Bristol Barrow, Pennsylvania, the beautiful town that we all grew up in. And they kind of give like a facelift to, you know, the main street. That's why it's called Main Street. So the main street is Mill Street and Radcliffe Street. So those are our main, that's where all the little small businesses are, the mom and pop shops. And they do a lot of marketing. So they're going to be promoting Bristol Barrow and basically telling, you know, the world how fantastic this little town is, the benefits of it, why you should visit, maybe why you should, you know, move there or whatever, or maybe even start a business there.
Is it like a mini series that they're doing? Or is it
like a mini series.
Yeah. Okay. I wasn't sure if it was like a one-off like special type thing.
No, season two.
This is season two.
Oh, okay.
How many episodes is a season?
I want to say At least six, but probably like eight, 6 to 8, because each episode that's is a specific business, and there's six businesses. Oh, but okay. I think there's like an intro
and then an like a, like yeah, a so wrap-up episode.
I believe it's
somewhere between 6 to 10. We'll just say that.
I don't know exactly, but...
that's cool.
But, you know, Robert from Shark Tank is a part of this, and...
Yeah, he's the man.
And he is the man, and I actually met him this past Friday, and Amanda Brinkman is the host of this series, and also nice person. Very, very, like, they gave you, both of them gave you, like, this, they're receptive to not just strangers, but you could tell that there was a supporting town that was there to support the cause and there to support, you know, the small businesses, and you could tell they're just open to that. They're very passionate about what they do. And they talk to you, you know, of course they're, you know, celebrities or at to whatever level they are, but they talk to you like you're their friend or whatever, you know what I mean? It was just strange. Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, how's it going? I know Robert was like very geared towards the dogs. There's a bunch of dogs out there and he loves dogs. So it was kind of cool, you know, seeing him in his element. It was very interesting. They had, what are those things called? The things that was flying?
Drones.
Drones.
They had drones flying, like recording at the same time.
I videoed that.
So cool. I like videoed that. So they're, you know, they're in town. So they blocked off.
Yeah, they're full-fledged, like, actual professional, camera crew. Like like what you would see on TV. Like, dude, their setup was crazy.
That's so
like
cool.
High-tech stuff. And there was like cameras everywhere. And it's part of the show.
So like, they started since you were chosen, it's part of one of the businesses, right?
Yeah.
So are you going to have like a one-on-one interview with like those people? Or?
Oh, yeah. And that's all part of the series that's coming up. They're going to have one-on-ones. They're going to have, we're going to meet up and just discuss about actual like small businesses, how small businesses can grow.
Okay.
And how like, how some of them don't survive for specific reasons. Some people aren't too, like, they're not taught well in finances. Like, they come and help you. They help you manage things. They help you how to promote, which is, that's why Deluxe came in. They help you. They're going to help you in so many ways. Not just, like, my business, whatever. All the businesses in town.
Okay.
They're going to help the whole town.
Oh, nice.
That's awesome. So it's a
they just profile certain, like, whatever ones they chose. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit of everything put in, like, the, like, helping you out, like, business-wise, promotion-wise, and helping you run everything better.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and so
that's cool.
Yeah, so he I think he has to keep the information that he shares limited. But the general thing is they invest in someone who I think it was what do you call it, like, has first of all has an established business and is highly invested in that established business.
Right.
So from the winners that we saw, that's what it seemed like. It was, and which is nice. And yeah, you're right. Small businesses don't last. I think it's like under 10% last the first 5 years.
Yeah.
So he's been established since 2010. So he's overcome, you know, that, which is crazy. That's just itself is beating the odds.
Overcame that hump, but still at the beginning.
Yeah. Still just scratching the surface. And they saw that. And they saw not only just him and who he was, but I believe they saw the potential of what could be.
Yeah, and not even just me. All the other businesses. They're intrigued by all the other businesses in town.
Right. And and what makes it fascinating is that you just see the combination. It's kind of what you're saying. So you see this small, you know, barber shop, right? But then there's like a, you know, like a brick oven pizza place that's opening up. There's a there's a Mexican restaurant on the corner. There's like a well-established restaurant / hotel that's been there since the beginning of Bristol, period.
Yeah, 18-something.
Wow. Yeah, so you have new age guys coming in. You have middle-aged people, and then you have like the old heads who've been there, been established, know what it takes, all coming together. And then, you know, you've been there for 6-7 years. You've seen the businesses that came and gone. You've seen like ones that collapsed, ones that succeeded, ones that boomed and continue to boom. Mikey has Goose has a relationship with Maestro's. What do they call beard butter?
It's a beard butter and a beard wash.
And we've seen them kind of, you know, take on the whole small business thing as a brick and mortar business, establish themselves. So they're a beard butter, which you don't necessarily need to have a brick and mortar establishment, because you can just ship those.
Yeah,
you could just have a website and just ship them, which they do. but they add a level of uniqueness, so to speak.
Kind of like more hands-on approach of it.
Yeah, they have their little headquarters right there in Mill Street, on the main street. Okay. And they have featured barbers. Miguel from Miguel's Riverside Barbershop is one of them. And they're constantly advertising, marketing, and promoting. They're going to events all the time. In fact, Goose is going to Chicago this upcoming weekend. Well, by the time you guys hear that, he was in Chicago for them. And so you just see, and that's Maestro's joining up with another small business owner. And you just see that kind of relationships being built on a whole nother level. And the same thing, like Miguel's Barbershop is located next to like an Italian restaurant/pizza place where, yeah, I'm not saying every day that's where Miguel's going to eat. But that's where he's going to, you know,
get another option, too.
That's where he's investing his money that he's making from his small business and investing in other small businesses.
Yeah,
and absolutely. Then every morning, like we're talking about, how he goes to Calm Waters, which is a little small coffee shop, a really cool version, mom and pop version of like a Starbucks or, you know, something like that. They serve food there now, too, don't they?
Yeah, just like they have like a
small stuff.
Selective variety of,
little sandwiches and little
Like grilled cheese. But it's like, and everything there, I want to say, is like gluten free.
Okay.
It's all like in that organic line of stuff. So it's,
that's awesome.
Yeah, so everything's like real
healthy.
Yeah, pretty much. It's all, it's all good stuff.
It's good.
Yeah, and so you do see the capitalistic portion of America. It's, that is what it is. Like, these people have put everything they had into these small businesses. And it's funny, they call them small businesses because of where they come in. I think it's like under $500,000 a year gross revenue. But when you see what they have and they establish, it's big.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's big not only for them, it's big for the people around them. People support them.
It's good for the community.
It's good for the community, exactly. And like I said, it's, you know, keeping it in-house. We talk about this all the time, forming relationships with other business owners or other people in general. Perfect example is my buddy Jay Mongillo owns 5-Star Tinting and Graphics, and that's who I use to get my – I take my cars to get tinted by him. He does all of our signage here, and when I was there, what was he doing? He's videotaping me. He's like, we got Jimmy Lee Velez from Rotated Views getting his signs done.
That's awesome.
So, and I didn't even know he was doing that. I was on my phone actually posting a picture of where I was at his shop. So
awesome.
We were doing the same thing. And it's those kinds of relationships that you've built years and years and years, near.
So it all becomes mutually beneficial to all parties involved.
Absolutely. Well, it's not even necessarily that. It's also saying, like, being resourceful.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times people say, like, well, I don't have the money to do X, Y, and Z. Well, I didn't have the money to put together the motivation files, Motivation to Master Day, which is a CD that you can still get on iTunes right now. How in the world would someone like me, who does not have a music background at all, have something produced in under 2 months, maybe 3 months of time, where there's musicians out there who can't even get a project together for the last 15 years they've been producing music.
Yeah.
Let's talk, because let's be honest, were you using all your resources? Were you trying to reach out to people? Are you actually trying to make a connection? Or are you just trying to be, you know, just a, you know, a nothing and not revive your dreams that you had as a kid and not live them out? Are you just coming up with excuses? Are you going to get stuff done? Are you just, you know, being comfortable with life? Or you trying to get some stuff done? That wasn't even supposed to be what I was supposed to do in 2015, was write a book. And I did. I wrote the book, The Motivation Files. The album was supposed to be a promotional tool.
Secondary, yeah.
And it ended up flipping out. I ended up selling the album and giving away the book.
Yeah.
So you can go to motivationfiles.com right now and download my book for free.
Nice.
And that's how it works. But that was me going with the punches. That was me just rolling with, you know, whatever I had. So I had a buddy who was in, that I grew up with, that we did, you know, like he has like 2 college degrees and music background. He's a music teacher.
Production.
Yeah. And we've done some like recordings back in the day in high school, like just messing around. Well, him and my other buddy did, and I was just kind of like their tag along friend. And I'm like, yo, Jay, you think you can like help me produce this? And I'm trying to explain to him because it's kind of weird. So if you guys don't know, the Motivation Files is kind of giving me giving like motivational talks, and there's beats in the background or whatever, kind of trying to, you know, like motivate you to become the best version of yourself. So I did this with Jay, who's a music teacher, who said, yeah, I can, you know, put something together. Let's see where we go. So I didn't even have a microphone at this time. So he's borrowing a microphone from one of his friends because he never had the need. He had a microphone, but it wasn't like, you know, like a high level, whatever. And but then
studio quality, I guess.
Yeah. And then a family member that I just so happened to think about popped up in my head who made beats. So I contacted him. And I used his talents, and he was more than willing to, you know, help me. He understood the project. He's like, wow, this is awesome. He's had some experience with putting, you know, mixtapes and stuff like that. And boom, I had him slap both of their names on the covers, the titles, everything. My wife took the pictures that you see all that slapped up all over. That's my wife who took the pictures. So for photography and things like that, the website I myself put together. So it's... And all this was on a no budget. That was not, had yeah. no budget at all. We borrowed stuff and we used our creativity mm-hmm. and we used our resources. That's how the Motivation Files got done. So for someone to sit there and tell me, oh, I don't have the resources. How hard did you try? How bad did you want it? Gabe, you were there. You remember yeah. I was like, I'm getting this stuff done. Heck, my brother ended up, you know, printing out some of the hard copies that no one else, that's like an exclusive thing that I want to give to the people who are close around me. He printed them out. He just so happened to have like cases and stuff. We put it together. And then all of a sudden he's like, oh, you know what? My one buddy has like a, you know, a printer where we can print out the title on the actual CDs. Cause I had these physical CDs that I want to put them on. And it was like one thing started leading up to another. How does that happen? It's because someone wants it bad enough and the world conspires, the universe, the law of attraction conspires to make things happen. It was when Goose got his barbershop, he had no idea how it was going to happen, but he took that initial leap of faith and went with it because he wanted mm-hmm. for it to come into fruition so bad that he took the leap.
Yeah, you figure it out. Like, no matter what, like, it's always going to be... Something gets in the way, no matter what, but it's always, if you want it bad enough, yeah, you'll figure it out in some way or another, whether you do it yourself or like you and find
most,
people.
Most cases, it just falls in place. Like, yeah. As long as you're doing the right things and at the right time, like taking the right steps, it actually kind of falls in place. I mean, I'm not saying you won't be stressed out about it.
Yeah,
and
sure.
It was not going to be like, but it just somehow gets put together.
Yeah.
And in most cases, it falls in, but I mean, sometimes it's not exactly to the T. But then that's where you correct it later on, yeah. and you master it. But yeah. at the time, things just fall in place.
Yeah. And if you going after hard enough, you put enough work and effort and research and make enough connections that you'll figure out some way or another, it'll all come together. Like you had one person who did most of the stuff, and then it all, somehow that fell through. But then you got somebody else to kind of pick up the slack of where it was like stuff was lacking.
Yeah. Nothing's ever going to happen perfectly how you have it in your mind. Like, actually, the first dude who did the beats for me was supposed to do the entire project. And he just couldn't. Our schedules were opposite. When he was able to do it, when he had the time, I was at work. So he was like a second shifter.
Okay.
So when I came home from work, he was just going into work.
Yeah.
So we had no shot at actually, like, physically getting together and recording. And then he also worked weekends. And, you know, I'm like, oh, man, this isn't going to happen.
Yeah.
And, I mean, you want to talk about, like, and I was, at this point, I was already giving out the dates of when I was going to release this.
Yeah.
So, I had this in my mind. I'm like, this has to happen. Mind you, me and Heck laugh about this all the time. I made up those dates.
Yeah.
Those dates had no significance at all.
I remember, like, what was the beginning of the year? You said, like, September is coming out or whatever. Yeah, I don't know what it was.
Look, I'm just coming out. It's going to come out in September. Totally just threw that out there. But they say the more you talk about your goals, the more you talk about your dreams, and as long as you back them up with some action, some level of action, like Goose was saying, somehow, mysteriously, things work out in the strangest way. But here's the key to understand that it's not going to work out perfectly how you have it in your mind.
Yeah.
Because Kel knows there's times where I sat literally sick to my stomach on the couch trying to figure things out. And I'm like, this isn't working. She just saw me like stressing the hell out and just worried that this wasn't going to work. And, you know, she would tell me, she's like, it's not that it's not going to work out. She's not going to work out. She's like, you have this like thing in your head of how it has to work out. Yep. It doesn't have to work out that way as long as it eventually works out.
Yeah, exactly. And
you like create the buzz so much that like people surround you and people that care about you, they get hyped and excited, and they do everything they can possibly do to help you out. Whether it's like digitally we can't help out, but verbally we can just go promote that to other people. Yo, my brother's doing this, my brother's doing that. And then it just supporting you, it gets you to like, dude, everyone's talking about it. I gotta hit that date. So it's like when your back is up against the wall, you're trying to like you really push forward and just make things happen.
Yeah.
And like I said, surround yourself with a dupe team that's gonna like push you and make you like, all right, that's a date. This day we're all going.
Yeah.
Like we all did it, like helping him. He did all the hard work, but we were right beside him the whole way.
Yeah, exactly. That's huge. Surrounding yourself with like-minded people, people who get it, people who understand. And even if they do, even if they don't get the idea or project that you're trying to do, they understand you.
Yes.
Yeah.
So this all goes back on reputation. If you're somebody who says you're going to do something and you're always following through with what you're going to do, they're going to support you wholeheartedly.
Yeah, the credibility.
Your credibility.
Yeah.
And we're talking about this before the episode started. There's a couple people who are shooting themselves in the foot and are ruining their own credibility based off not being accountable. And it's not me. It's not my job to, you know, have you be a credible person. If you're a credible person, you're a credible person. Yeah. If you're not, I'm not sitting there. We're not going to chase you down. So you can then become a, you know, this, you know, resource that we can tap into because you're so reliable.
Yeah.
We don't have time for unreliability in certain. It's not even just this business. It's in all businesses.
Absolutely.
You have to have a foundation of loyalty and credibility to some extent, at least.
And accountability.
And accountability so that we can establish and grow ourselves as people. Forget the business aspect. That's a whole nother beast.
That's just proving that what you're saying you're going to do, you're going to do.
Exactly. Yeah. And then that translates into business. Then that translates into making money. Then that translates into other things. If you're a BSer and you're constantly saying you're going to do something and you don't show up, everyone knows you as that.
Because if you use it on the small things, of course, it's automatically going to translate, no matter if it's true or not, to the bigger stuff.
The stuff that you don't think is a big deal is a big deal. That's the problem. That's what people don't understand. You get somebody like not showing up or not committing themselves to, you know, answering an email. As far as an email, you think I'm going to have you on my show?
Yeah.
Right? If you can't even answer an email, do I think you're actually going to meet up with us at 8 p.m. on a Monday evening? Perfectly, so then we can have an episode? No, absolutely not.
And the same thing, too. Like, I refuse answering a text or like on like the most like I don't want the dumbest question.
Yeah,
I'm not even gonna give my time to that.
Yeah,
like, you're gonna ask me something that's dumb and simple that you could probably answer yourself. I'm not even giving you that time to even reply to it. You can figure it out.
Exactly.
And then like 2 hours later, or maybe like the next day, I'll get like a face like if they're waiting for my answer, I still blow them off.
Yeah.
Like, dude, I'm not giving you like.
It's 12 o'clock in the afternoon. And they're like, yo, you open today?
Yeah, like. Or yo, can you like squeeze me in? You know, I do appointments. How can I squeeze you in if I'm booked for the day?
Yeah.
So I just don't answer. They know my rules. They know how I go. They know how I run my business. And people are always like, yo, can you do this? Yo, can you do that? And I'm like,
those are the challenges, though. People like that, they're just trying to see how far they can get with you, and obviously, it does not work out.
Testing boundaries and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Like,
and by him not responding, that's setting the tone.
Yeah.
All right. Exactly. Well, obviously he can't because he's not answering me.
Yeah.
Whether that person is butthurt or not, that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
The problem is you have to have at least a level of respect. Yeah. This is a part that drives me crazy. Is people are so consumed with their own lives that they think that it revolves around everyone else as well. When you have to realize people are out there, heck, Goose, Gabe, myself, we all have our own problems outside of what we do, outside of multiple things that we do. You know what I mean? We have our own relationships. We have our other business ventures. We have our own other jobs and other sources of income. We have significant others. Like, what do you think we do all day? Just sit around waiting for your email to come in, or waiting for your text message to come through, or your phone call, so we can, at the perfect time that you're ready to send it? It doesn't work that way. That's not how the world ever spun. That's not the direction the world ever happened. It's not this mysterious thing. And going back to my initial point was, it's those little things. It's asking the right questions.
Yeah.
It's not being lazy about it. Do the research yourself, then ask a more professional or a well-worthy question that someone would want to answer, and not some dumb stuff like, what are your business hours?
Yeah, when you can pull up his app and find out.
Exactly.
Exactly.
It's those little things that people will then turn an eye to. He's like, you know, this dude never ever wasted my time.
Yeah.
And I want to, like, dude, you know, I don't squeeze people in. Let's just say I don't squeeze people in, but tomorrow I have a cancellation. Can you come? Blah, blah, blah. So now you're trying to work with that person. Or I'll let you know if I have a cancellation tomorrow.
Right.
As of right now, I'm booked. But if someone's every week, yo, can you squeeze me in?
Yeah.
Like, dude, you're careless and it's obnoxious. I'll never forget, there's times where I sat in a barbershop, and it wasn't Miguel's Riverside Barbershop. It was at the barbershop he worked for before. And there's dudes who will walk in. We're all sitting there waiting for like an hour and some change, and dudes will walk in on their wedding day, or they're in a wedding, and talk about, well, I got a wedding. Can I just jump in before you? Do you mind? And it would drive me nuts. And here's the thing that was like, you don't care. You didn't care for the wedding enough that you're here at 10 o'clock in the morning and you got to be there at noon. No, you're going to sit there and wait. You're not going to get a haircut.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
No, you're not cutting.
I got bought before. Somebody paid me to take my spot. They're like, oh, when are you sitting? Or when are you next? I was like, actually, I am next. And he gave me, I don't know, I think it was like $20 or something like that to get my spot.
Yeah.
Fortunately for me, I wasn't in a rush because my hours that I was working. But it's like, it's crazy. Like, you know,
but it's
a
not,
barbershop.
But, yeah.
It's
but it's not
busy.
Just you. Now you put the guy behind you set back half
right,
hour.
Exactly.
That's
yeah.
where the screw up comes. It's not just you. Like, if he took your spot altogether, that's one thing. But now the guy, all the guys behind you are set back another half hour because this dude wanted to be, you know, whoever he wanted to be. Anyway, it all leads up to, it's those little things. So, perfect example, if you're always trying to cut in line for someone at the barbershop, or you're trying to always pay people, that's what you do in life on other things. It's not just a haircut.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep.
You're always trying to maybe buy out your spouse or buy out your kids, always cut their time short, hanging out with them. Like, oh, we can't be at the park for another hour. I got to go because I messed up this, you know, whatever, my eye doctor appointment. Now I got to go see if I can butt in line in front of somebody else. You do that for how you do one thing is how you do everything.
Yep.
We talk about this all the time. So if you're going to cancel an appointment that you had with me, then I'm not even responding on to something that you wanted to reschedule that had just not a good enough. Because in my back of my mind, here's what it is. In the back of my mind, the value you placed on our relationship is nothing. Because you actually just didn't have a reason. I'm a compassionate person. Mm-hmm. If you set something up with me and you legit, like, something happened, let's reschedule. But if you come at me and say, let's reschedule, it's just not working out for me. And that's all you're saying, and we have a better relationship than that?
Yeah,
this is not working out for me.
That's not good enough.
And that's the response you're going to get from me.
Yeah.
And it's not me being, you know, an animal about it. It's... We're at a level now where we don't have the time for that stuff. It's dude, we're too far in. We put in way too much work to not get a certain level of respect. I'm not saying you should like walk up and we deserve everyone's respect. No, we earned our respect on so many other levels. We're not saying, you know, oh, you should walk in, everyone should just be quiet. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about basic stuff as in, respect the time. If you can't do it, say you can't do it. Yeah. Don't tell me all week long you can meet up with me, and then hours before we're supposed to meet up, you cancel because you don't feel like it.
Yeah.
That's not a good enough...
There are things people... like, you can do things within reason. Like, if we have something set up and you call me like 24 hours prior and like say, yo, I try and I can't like make it, I can't.
Yes.
That's fine because you can make arrangements.
Yes.
But if someone calls me like an hour or 45 minutes, that's, I mean, I there's nothing I could do. I lost that spot, and that's a waste of my time. I'm losing money.
Yes.
Like, and some people don't get it. They're like, oh, yeah, I called you, like, a half hour. I'm like, well, there's not many people that I can call. I'm like, yo, can you come here in, like, half hour, 20 minutes? You know what I mean? Yeah. Exactly. Like, I'm losing money. You're wasting my time.
Yeah.
And then, like, you're not responsible. Like, or unless it's, like, a prior emergency or something.
That's what I'm saying. There's certain things. It's an emergency. There's certain things. Life happens, like, sometimes. You can't control that, but...
But like
you said, an illegitimate like reason. It's just that's inexcusable.
Exactly.
Yeah. So those people that like if they are genuine, like 24 hours or like 48 hours before, sure. at least, and they give you that that respect. So then next time when they want something or they want you can set something up with them, and absolutely. You know that they're gonna, like, if they can't make it, they'll give you that like common courtesy, yeah. like, oh, yes, I can't exactly. make it, or they'll be there. They're genuine.
Let me ask you something. You think if you came up with some like garbage excuse as to why we can't have our meeting, right? Do you think how much of ambition do you think I have to set up another one with you?
Exactly.
I'm not going to continue to wait. This is my thing. You have this where first impressions come into play. That's the first impression you have. How you do one thing is how you do everything. Who's to say that you're not going to do the next thing for my next meeting when I can book somebody easily who wants to be on my show, who wants to be in a meeting with me, who wants to build a relationship with me? That's what I'm talking about. It's not that I'm cocky or I don't want to have meetings with you. I don't have time for the dumb stuff. No, no one has time for the dumb stuff.
Yeah, that's
why would you think I do?
Like, well, the fool me once, shame on you. Fool me once, shame on me for booking you again.
Yeah, that's it. And it's not like whatever. Dude, listen, I'm not ending relationships like that. I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying I'm definitely thinking twice with anything we ever do in the future. Right. I'm not saying that won't ever happen. I'm just saying I'm thinking you're an unreliable person, point blank. And if, you know, if I don't have nothing to do, or maybe I do have a down day, exactly. let's link up or something like that. Cause then if you do, I'm expecting you to cancel on me.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why at that point you double book whatever.
Expectations out of it. Yeah.
Lowered expectations.
Yeah.
I mean, is there anything worse? That's all you have.
Yeah.
Seriously. That's all you have. Do you really want to be known as a person who doesn't show up? You really want to be the person that people know you don't have their back? Dude, this goes back to just being a straight up man.
Yeah.
Is that the soft bone? Yeah, this is the basics. Like, do you even have a backbone enough to say, okay, listen, I don't have the tools. I don't have whatever to make this happen. I think I need some time to figure it out. Can we do something else? That I respect.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Or, of course, like we talked about earlier, there's an emergency or something like that. I don't respect a lousy effort, and then you want me to be compassionate or understanding to that. Yeah. I can't relate to that. Maybe back in the day, I possibly gave you a chance because we didn't have things going. At this point, at this level, you can't. Like, there's too much going on, and there's a lot of quality things that we can build relationships with than to continue lousy ones.
I know we're like putting this out just because it's like whatever, but I almost feel like it's even a waste of time talking about it because now it's like giving people that do that stuff credit. Like, it's like it's annoying. It's frustrating.
Yeah.
So I don't like giving people credit for false stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like I just rather not even like almost just blow it off. Like I say, I ignore stuff. I kind of just and then I'll eat it up myself. I'll beat myself up later. Yeah. Like I don't even want to draw any attention to it.
Exactly. Yeah. Like you said, it's no point putting your time and effort responding to that.
Exactly. Like,
but what I'm trying to get across here is a message for future.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like stuff. So that specific situations is one thing, and I do get like on a daily basis. I get, and I told you like three of them that happened while we're just sitting here before the show started. That, and I'm not speaking on one particular one. It's what I'm saying here is actually a combination of all three.
Yeah,
and it's just it has to be said on a general statement.
Sure.
Just for as a lesson that anyone else can learn. Maybe there's a 15-year-old kid who's never experienced this yet. He's like, oh wow. I told my buddy I was going to be at his house and I never showed up. I just figured I was okay. That's not okay.
Yeah.
I know it sounds like it's so little. Again, how you do one thing is how you do everything.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it is hanging out with your boy. If you told your boy, I'll be at your house at 8:00 and you never showed up. Your boy's either, if he was a really close friend, he's going to hit you up, call your parents, whatever. Like, he's missing.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you do that? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, if you're that, don't be that person who people expect because, you not to.
Because then you get, exactly, you get the reputation of like, okay, you're going to show up an hour late, 2 hours late, 3 hours, whatever it is. Or just, you know, I don't know.
Or they get all upset that, why didn't you guys invite me?
Yeah.
What do you mean, why didn't we invite you? Because we know you're not going to show, so, exactly. I mean, what's the point of saying anything to you?
You're the boy who cried wolf.
Yeah, you always had an excuse not to show up, and all of a sudden, the day we didn't invite you, you were a free.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. Really, what are the odds of that?
People make excuses for work, but they're there to celebrate and have a good time.
Yeah, exactly. And it's amazing.
Yeah.
Because we're just talking about this the other day, that you work, like, you have to understand, you can't live life for the weekends. It makes zero sense.
Yeah.
You mean to tell me you work your tail off for 5 days just to enjoy two? That doesn't make sense. That's why it goes down to, yes, we all need an income, and while you need a job or something like that that's going to generate an income, but on the side, you should be working on your dream. So then, you know, until that bridge, soon as that bridge can connect, and you could make the leap of faith and then, you know, transfer over. But you can't be miserable at work every single day. That makes no sense, and people are. They're complaining about their jobs, complaining about what they do, complaining about the people they work with, complaining about their boss. Meanwhile, if that was stripped from you, you would, you know, that would devastate your life.
Yeah, right.
So, but then again, you're complaining about every single day.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. That's just so ungrateful to me.
That's just what they do, though. Those are complainers. Right. They have nothing else better to do but complain about the normal everyday stuff. But again, like you said, if you strip away from them, they're devastated because now they don't have that thing to complain about.
Right.
Yeah.
So now it's on to the next thing. It's like, dude, be happy you have a job. If you don't like the job, you should try harder to find something that you enjoy doing on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Just sit there and complain, there goes another customer. Blah, blah, blah. Like, why are you angry? Okay, right. We're in here shopping because we need to get shopping done. We need to go grocery store, whatever the case may be. And you obviously applied here because you needed this job or you wanted this job. Don't get angry at the customers. That's what it's a retail. It's a store. That's what it's supposed to do.
Yeah.
So when they get all angry at you and like, or they're slamming your food in the bag, it's like, why are you throwing my food? What? I didn't do anything to you. If you had a bad day, go home. Just complain about it for no reason.
But is Jim Rohn said, why do people complain? That someone asked him this question. He's like, I don't know, because they're the complainers. Why do people procrastinate? I don't know. They're the procrastinators. And we can't. He says, I stopped trying to sort all that out.
Yep.
Is his exact words. I stopped trying to sort all that out. I just focused on what I needed to do and worked with the people who wanted to work with me. Yeah. I attempted to work with everybody, but they themselves...
Eliminate themselves.
Yeah.
And it's just like in nature, when you throw a bunch of seeds onto the, let's just say you throw, you know, seeds to grow grass or whatever, some seeds are just going to lay there and not do anything.
Mm-hmm.
Some seeds are just going to get washed away and that's the end of that. Some seeds are going to blow away into the neighbor's yard and grow his yard. Even though that neighbor didn't plant it, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And then some seeds are going to grow.
Yeah.
It's just the nature of everything. Some will, some won't. So what, right?
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
Yeah. And just to like kind of encapsulate this entire discussion, I have been saying this since the beginning of the year, and we said it on like a goal setting episode or whatever it was. What are you trying or what are you seeking out? And I'm going to tell you right now, deeper, more meaningful relationships and conversations with people that we're willing to grow together and literally become better versions of ourselves. I know I say that all the time, become the best version of yourself, blah, 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 blah. Think about what that term and that phrase actually is, right? And then apply it to your life. If you're constantly trying to grow, if you're constantly trying to have more meaningful, healthy relationships with other people, where are you going to go? You're not going to do nothing but prosper.
Mm-hmm.
And that if that's where, that's where, that's where it begins. It starts there with strong relationships, with the loyalty that you have for your circle, right? Your circle of influence. Are you going to bring inside your circle of influence someone who's constantly, let's just say, like doing bad things or constantly getting in trouble. Mm. Eventually, yeah, that you might have just had a random association with this person. It might have been a family member or whatever. But eventually, you just stop hanging out with that guy, yep. right? It's the same thing. If there's someone who's always manipulative or someone who's always verbally abusive or you know, or another, you know, area in life that it's not helping the entire group. I'm not saying being selfish, our relationship's not helping me. But at the same time, you have to be selfish.
Yeah.
Because here's the reason behind all that is, who do you respect, yourself or not yourself? So do you even respect yourself enough? Because if you do, then you will value your time.
Yeah.
When you value your time, your life becomes valuable. When you value your own life, people start to value you. You attract what you are. Mm-hmm. Right. You attract your feelings. So if you respect you, if you constantly walk around very confident and you love yourself and people can tell that you're well groomed, you could take care of yourself, you respect others around you, that's all that's going to come to you. Mm-hmm. If people see you with, like, you know, you're just walking around like with a negative attitude, never, you know, like never washed up, just looking all like, wow, if that dude doesn't care for himself, you know what I'm saying? Of course there's different circumstances for and all of that, then why should anyone else? If you don't, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So there's an extent to that, obviously. So there's some people who are going through it that, yes, you do want to reach out to them. But like I said, if that relationship then becomes strained because they're just a constant, you know, like a needy person, yeah. then that's just
unhealthy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the overall goal is to, this is setting the tone. When you're building relationships with people, when we're trying to build a bigger podcast or a bigger business out of this, when we're trying to promote stuff, and we're getting advertisers to come onto our show and want to be a part of what we're doing. And I tell them the level of guests that we have on our shows, what do I have? Oh, a bunch of people who cancel on me?
Yeah.
This is what I'm talking about. We're on to the next level. We're at episode 50 right now. You can't build a strong foundation with weak people. Some people, it's like, I know this sounds very crazy, but Rick Ross said it, you know, not everyone's going to make it. Mm-hmm. Even though you want it for them, mm-hmm. you can only want it for them for so much, and boom, I extended my hand, and you slapped it down, I'm done. Not everyone's going to make it. You're just not going to, mm-hmm. you could make it somewhere else, you're just not going to make it with me. We're not going to make it together.
Yeah.
I wish you the best, but we need to focus on positive, impactful people who are all here to help each other and move forward. We got to grow. We can't stay stagnant, right? You can't do that. You don't want those kind of people around you. You don't want those kind of people around your wife. You don't want those kind of people around your kids. Who do you want around your kids? That's who you should be looking at, your friends. Mm-hmm. Who can you trust leaving your wife and your kid by themselves while you go run to the car and go grab something? That's who you want. Those are the people you want to build relationships with.
Yeah.
You don't want to build no relationship with no bum or some like scumbag dude or whatever. You can't even trust like that. You go run down to the car and this dude's like being a weirdo over here. Dude, I have zero tolerance for that stuff, man. It's weird even saying it, but it's true.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you could look at your boy dead in his eyes and you can honestly say to yourself, I can leave him, you know, I can walk away and go to my car that's 100 yards away with my wife and my son and not think anything of it.
Yeah.
That's where you should start. That's the basics.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you can't even start there, get rid of that person. And that's what I'm talking about when building relationships with quality people.
Yeah.
That's where it all begins. It's that basic human interaction that you need to establish, that you need to have. Now we can grow. If I can do that with my squad, now we can grow. Now we can start talking about important things. Now we can start talking about investments. Now we can start talking about building an empire. I can't build an empire with someone who wants to freaking, you know, cheat on his wife and wants to, you know, with everyone else's wife. You can't build stuff like that because that infects and defects the relationships on every level.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't trust basic level stuff, how do you trust business any kind stuff. Of decisions like with that? Because you don't trust them on a basic personal level.
And me and Goose, we came across this. We couldn't. It was the same thing. It was like we're, you know, meeting up with someone who always had an excuse as to why they couldn't meet up, and we're trying to like start a little startup, and it just wasn't happening. And like, you know what? This isn't. We should have known this from the beginning.
Yeah.
And luckily, it didn't, you know, launch into anything. We were fortunate enough that it didn't. But yeah, it's those basic things. Start getting into the routine of chin checking, even if it's in your own mind, the people that are around you. Once you start, you know, once you have your squad, and I'm not talking about, oh, your boy from day one, blah, blah, blah. If that's your boy from day one, but he's a scumbag, who cares if he was your boy from day one? Mm-hmm. That's not your boy from day, that was a person that you knew your whole life. That's all that is. He shouldn't be a member.
Yeah.
Membership has its privileges, and there's a reason why. Because the first person I think of when I'm about to, when I need a haircut is not freaking some random dude who works at another barbershop down the street. The first person I think of is my brother Miguel. And when I'm handing out business cards, you could ask my wife. In fact, I grabbed one of his business cards, a stack of his business cards, put him in my wallet. My wallet's not on me. And gave it to one of James' classmates, like parents. Because I had it on me on Saturday morning when we had like an event. Had no idea someone over there was going to ask me for, oh my gosh, I love your son's haircut. He looks like a little man who cuts his hair.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, Jim's brother. Boom, Jim has Miguel Riverside Barbershop business cards that I literally just grabbed Friday night because we're celebrating his win. And I was like, oh, I need to re-up because I was handing out still his old ones.
Okay.
But anyway, it's things like that where it's like I'm constantly talking about the people that I know or my relationships when I'm networking with other people. And that could lead into a bunch of other stuff. Something that little, people don't understand, something that little, right? We have that relationship, obviously. They go and get his haircut. What are they going to do? They got to park somewhere. They're going to walk by all these other little businesses that could potentially get more business now because that person's new to the town. They're not from around here.
Yeah.
And people don't understand that little, it's like the ripple effect that we talked about last episode or the episode before. It's that one little thing that you can do that you don't know what that's going to turn into. You have no idea.
Yep.
Yeah. It's funny. What's funny is that, Goose here, he has I've always wore his shirt to work, like t-shirt, the Miguel's Riverside Barbershop t-shirt. And every time I wore it, they're like, oh, that's an awesome shirt, you know. And I was telling them, it's my brother's barbershop. And I tell them, you know, go down there. I don't have any business cards, but I have to get some. And, you know, I hand them out or whatever. So now that he won, someone that I work with for a very long time, all of a sudden goes, oh, so where's your brother's barbershop at? I saw him on Facebook, this, that, and third.
Yeah.
You didn't recognize when I had the shirt on, you didn't say nothing. But now that he's made it big to this next level, he wants to go check it out. I was like, well, yeah, I told him where it was.
Yeah.
We'll see if he shows up or not. But it's just like funny how like they just see it as just a regular business. But then when it makes something big in the paper or like, you know, something like that, it's they want to go check it out and be a part of it.
Yeah. Well, we talk about this all the time. It's, you know, when you move up to higher levels, all of a sudden you start making your network becomes different, right?
Yeah.
And that's when you really have to be sharp.
Absolutely.
You have to really be aware of the snakes. You have to really be aware of the people who are just connecting with you just because who you are,
right?
Not because they want to actually build an actual relationship. Yeah. We know that we knew this when Goose became a business owner. All of a sudden, other business owners were talking to him and asking him questions and giving him, you know, feedback and stuff like that. But 2 weeks ago when he was just a barber, you know, he never had these conversations, never even knew these people, never even knew these people existed on the face of the planet of the earth, you know? And now all of a sudden it's like, oh, these people are coming from the woodworks, or they want to hang out with him now. And then they want to have a drink with him now. It's interesting, but that's how life works, because that is the basic, most general form of the law of attraction. Your frequency is hitting on a frequency that they're on.
Yeah,
right.
And so you shouldn't take it as a negative thing. You just have to be sharp. You just have to be aware to know who's who. Who's the snake? Right. That snake, that doesn't mean snake. Just because you're at this frequency, that doesn't mean there's not, you know, evil people at that frequency, right? Tuning into, for us, the hip-hop station is 98.9. If you could think of it like this way, those are frequencies. Those numbers are frequencies.
Yeah.
The levels of frequencies on the radio. When you hit 98.9, that's a frequency. Are you going to hit? Is it going to be a country station? No, because you're not on that level. Our country station is 92.5. When you hit 92.5, is there going to be hip hop? No, because that's not the frequency. So yeah. I can't be talking about business with my son who's 3 years old. He's not on that frequency.
Yeah.
That's where people get things all confused. You think just because that's your boy, just because he's in your circle, that's who you need to be doing business with. Wrong. You guys have to think in a different way. You're connecting with people at frequencies. So when you capture those frequencies, that's the reason why you're connecting with them. Like, where did this guy come from? You were never in my life. That's because now you're hitting a frequency that person's on.
Mm-hmm.
again, it doesn't matter that you're all on the same frequency. Now you have to decipher who's the right ones to work with.
Do your due diligence.
Exactly. So that's the most basic, when I say frequencies, if you could think of it as a radio station, that's what it is. You can't talk country with 98.9, right? Mm-hmm. You can't talk hip hop with country. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
So you can't, you're mixing two totally different things. It's not going to hit. It's not
keeping the same
hit.
Thing. Not everybody's tuned to the same station at the same time.
Exactly. Right. We're talking about music, but we're talking about two different kinds of music.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So there you have it, folks. The special edition of relationship building, going that leads into strong businesses and cool startups, and how to decipher and how to get away and from the negativity and tap into the frequencies the right way. All right, good stuff. Well, that wraps up this episode of the Rotated Views podcast. In this episode, we wrap up the lessons learned since our last podcast check-in. The crew discusses the basics of building strong relationships, using our resources, success principles, and burning bridges. We talk about respect, our value system, and our circle of influence. We wrap the episode up with statements regarding growing as a person and business in all areas of life. Thanks again for joining us. Guys, don't forget to visit the website, JimmyLeeVelez.com. Follow the blog. If you have any inquiries or questions you would like for us to answer on a future episode, just email us at info@JimmyLeeVelez.com. And on behalf of myself and the rest of the crew, we wish you massive success. And until next time, adios.
The Rotated Views podcast was produced for self-development purposes. Thank you for the love and support. We truly do hope you enjoyed the views.